Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio On Location. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. Our location is the Osceola Road Commission Service Barn in Hersey, Michigan. It's Hersey, not Hershey. You know, I used to, when I drove up and down US 131, I just thought of chocolate bars in Hershey, Pennsylvania. But if you, it's winter time, and if you have a 30, 40, 50 foot long sidewalk or driveway to clear, can you imagine clearing hundreds of miles of 2- and 4-lane roads and shoulders in just a few hours? Well, we're going to be talking about that in this episode with our friends from the road, in the road cleaning business, Mike Mozzella. Welcome back, Mike.
Hi, thank you, Tom. Good to be here.
This is about our third rodeo.
Yeah.
Mike is the engineer manager of the Osceola Road Commission, and he's responsible for road engineering, execution, repairs, and this time of year, snow and ice removal. Today we are visiting him at his man cave. It's a pretty big cave you have here, Mike.
Yeah, it's my office, and this is where I hang out most of the time.
Well, you have a pretty good play garage back there,
right.
With multiple bays and the equipment here at the Osceola County Road Commission. We're also going to, after we talk with, we also have Rob Borst.
Good morning.
And he's the South Supervisor, the guy who looks after the roads in the winter. He coordinates the drivers out there on the road, and I suppose you have things to do in the off season.
Absolutely.
Well, the fun part about it is we're going to be behind his windshield, and he's going to give us a real life experience on the road. We do have some precipitation that happens to be snow, and it will be continuing to build, but this will be fun. So let's have a word of prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, just want to thank you for these men who and their crews who do the service to keep our roads clear, to allow us to traverse and to meet our appointments and keep commerce and road for the emergency teams and various people, for our schools to function and our businesses to operate. Be with us and help us to have a glorious time and see, walk in other people's moccasins today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Mike, we've talked before, but you run the have responsibility for the snow removal and ice treatment of this particular county. This isn't your grandpa's snow plows anymore that you run.
No, it isn't. No, they're really actually high-tech. Pretty high-tech, big machines, you know, that go out and plow the roads. So they're, you know, over the years they've gotten bigger and bigger. Lots of buttons. It's almost like getting into an aircraft cockpit, you know.
I was just thinking on the way down, and like I mentioned, it was snowing on the way down. We came down from Wexford County. I saw a truck up there, and being that we're preparing for this meeting, I was just kind of at one with the driver there. And then just before we got off on US 131, there was one of your trucks were on the road here. So I kind of felt like I was escorted in this morning. But what did they do before they had internal combustions and diesel engines to move snow? How did people get around? Do you have any clue? That was probably before your time, though.
It was a little before my time. I think they got around as best they could, probably on top of the snow, because they didn't really do
removal.
A lot of snow removal. So you just did your best on top of the snow, and you know, horses and sleighs and
But I mean, the road commission didn't do blading, or did they do that with horses and stuff? I'm just curious.
Now, the road commission started in around the 1920s. And the really,
cars were already...
Yeah, and really started getting going in the 1930s. So by that time, there was, you know, mechanized trucks to plow the roads.
Well, tell us a little bit about... how do you prepare for winter? Who wants to talk about that?
Oh, I can talk about that.
That's Rob.
So in preparing for winter, in the fall months, we start going through our equipment. Kind of like when I was in the military, you go through and you check boxes about, you know, do we have our chains ready? Do we have our straps, our clevises to hook on? Are our sanders properly ready? We check our front plows and our plow blades. In the wintertime,
Your hydraulics, I would assume?
The hydraulics, yes. We use the hydraulics all year long.
Oh, okay.
So those are pretty much known. In the wintertime, we do change blades. So on our belly blade, we put on a carbide blade instead of the hardened blade that we run in the summertime to plow or grade the roads with. Because we mainly are running more black tops in the wintertime. And they don't tend to wear down as fast as the other blades do. All the guys will go through their trucks, both inside and outside. And any light issues and or mirrors or problems that we have, we tend to try to get that taken care of before we know we have storms coming in.
I've noticed in some of the road commissions that their salt dispensers, if you have for the distributors, sometimes they have them up on racks and in the yard. It's almost like you can just back up into it, drop it into the bed of your truck and go. Do they still do that? Or
Those are handy. We do not, however, at this time. We have overhead cranes inside the garage, so we keep them on what would look like a hay wagon, and we bring those chassis in and we lift them up and set them in the trucks inside the garage. And so before we put them away at the end of the winter, we service them, and we also resurface them when we put them back in to make sure that bearings are greased and chains are oiled and things are ready to go.
And the materials you use for de-icing are fairly corrosive.
Very corrosive, yes.
So, and you don't want to have moisture and salt and so on and so forth. So between the two of you in your big barn here, you have two facilities. You said this is the south facility. Then you have for the northern part of the county. How many bays do you store your trucks indoors, or?
All trucks are inside. We have, so in this facility down here, I have 9 operators. So we have a truck for every operator plus a few spares. Along with all our other various equipment that we use throughout the winter.
Okay, that's 9 here, and how many do you have in the north?
In the north, we have 8 operators up north, so we have a truck for each operator, plus we have 1 or 2 spares up there that are still running and capable.
Okay, so Mike, what is the cost to, I just blown away the numbers, I've heard them before. It's very, very expensive. That's part of our road tax. It's almost like the winter tax that we have here in Michigan, besides the wear and tear of the roads, but the treatment of the roads. Give our listeners a new appreciation for why a road tax is what the road tax is.
Right. Yeah, and it's very variable. It can vary from season to year to year. Just because, you know, some winters we have a lot of events, a lot of snow. Other winters, you know, it could be very dry. We don't have as many events. So it can vary from, in a light year, maybe toward $1 million worth of maintenance, you know, labor and equipment and materials, to where a heavy year, you're closer to $2 million in those costs in the winter.
Now, is your cost similar or higher than we did a recording back in 2023 with some of your other colleagues, Wexford County, which is north of us, a rural county, but we also did Kent County, which is one of the second largest or near the second largest counties. Do you get off easier because you're a rural county, or do you have more roads because you take over more roads because local municipalities don't do quite as much?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to compare counties, but generally speaking, you know, most counties, you know, 24 miles by 24 miles is a kind of a regular county, have about the same amount of roads. Everyone's right around the 1,000 miles of roads. You know, some, of course, rural commissions have more, some have less, some have more paved roads, some have, you know, more gravels like we would up here as a rural county. But yeah, so whether it's a rural county or more urban, you still got all these roads you got to get clear for people, whether, you know, you have one house per mile or, you know, 10.
Same amount of plowing.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. We'll want to get out there in the truck here with Rob, you have your barn here. What's unique about a county road commission versus some other facility or a private owned with similar trucks and so on and so forth?
Of course, we are a governmental agency.
So you report to a different group of people,
yeah,
to investors.
Right. We don't, you know, we're not out to make profit. You know, we answer to the people. We have an elected board, 5-member elected board, and of course they answer to the public. And so one of the great things about working for a road commission or participating is, you know, we're here for the public good. And, you know, that's you know, why we do what we do is, you know, we're helping the public be safe and get to where they need to get to.
Before we get out there in the truck, how do I get my road cleaned before anybody else?
You know,
I see smiles on both of their faces.
You know, we get those calls from time to time where someone will call, you know, I have a, you know, doctor's appointment early in the morning, or I have to get my kids to school. Can you plow my road by 8 o'clock? And we can't really, you know, meet every request like that we get. We prioritize our plowing by primary roads. The primary roads are the roads that get traveled the most. They're the kind of the main arterials that everyone feeds into.
So you can get the most bang for your buck. You can get the most throughput. If you get to that trunk line, you may have to come from secondary or primary roads or whatever the term is.
So those roads are first, and we do have four public schools in the county, and we prioritize some of the primary roads around them. And then when we get those done, we go to the more local roads, you know, where people live. And so we do have a kind of priority list, and that's how we kind of plow our road out. So if you live on one of those high priority roads, you're going to get plowed out first. If not, you're going to be maybe toward the afternoon.
So the next time you move, you want to see if you get on a primary snow route?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So good. Well, Mike, is there anything else that you want to share with us?
No, you know, some people get frustrated, you know, with, you know, the weather, but that, you know, much of our work is weather dependent, and we can't, you know, we don't have much of a say in what it's going to do. So we do our best to keep the motoring public safe, and that's our goal every year.
Absolutely. Well, Rob, I think we should go jump up in your truck.
Okay.
Okay, Mike, thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Rob, we're out in the barn. Our listeners can hear the echo.
Yes.
And this is a big cavernous building. Do you have an idea how wide this building is?
Oh boy.
I'm seeing about
there's
at least 80 plus across and probably 120 feet long, and I might be just being a little conservative.
And that's about 2/3 of the building.
Okay, oh, okay, very good. We have diesel engine trucks here. We have semis, trailers. We have snow plows, trucks that can be used for snow plowing, but also road grading all year round. We're standing next to a monster. How much does this truck maybe weigh?
Oh boy, you're catching me off guard.
Oh, that's okay.
Maybe I can look right here on the tag. Gross weight, 29,029 pounds.
29,000 pounds, and that is probably empty.
Yes.
That's without any gravel, any salt, road treatment equipment. This is a regular workhorse here. This is one of the older ones.
It is, 2007.
And you have all to the more recent, and you, how many units, you said that earlier, do you have?
We have 9 units that are used every day, and we have 2 extra spares down here in this garage.
And then you have in the
north. We have eight units used every day in the north garage, and they have 2 spares as well.
Okay, give us a quick walk around because we want to get in the truck, load it up with some sand, and get out there and treat the roads.
Okay, for our pre-trips, we go through and we check our belts, we check all our fluids. We go through and we check all of our tires for any gashes, bulges, whether they aired up or not. And we check basic things like, so our, a truck inspection, you have to go through many different inspection points. We look at the springs, the shackles, all the lights, any of the glass has to be checked, any of the mirrors have to be checked. In full, and make sure it's in good operation.
Yeah, you got to be ready to go. You can't have downtime when people need you moving snow.
Right, right.
So we're up here at the front front left by the driver's position. We're going to walk around this truck. What points do we need to know?
Well, I've looked at the belts, I've looked at the fan, I've looked at the tires on this side.
And you have dualies. You have 2 dualies in the back. That's a total of 8 tires and 2 the steer tires in the front.
Correct.
This truck is at least 25, almost 30 feet long.
Correct.
And, okay, it's a big diesel.
Yep. On the front, this is our front plow carriage. We put on our big one-way plows when we have heavy drifting. Other than that, we don't usually carry them. They're very cumbersome.
How big is big? I see some over on the side. It's taller than I am.
Yes.
It's like 7 feet high at the high end.
And they're wider than the truck. They're probably 14 feet wide.
Wow. And they're at a big, very acute angle because you're trying to push that snow off as fast as possible.
So coming over to here, we would check our antifreeze. We would check our oil. Which are both right here. Make sure our fluids are up. The power steering was on the other side. We check that. We come through, we make sure, just on our walk around, we're looking for any fluid leaks. We're looking for any missing bolts or anything on our blade to make sure that when we get out there, we don't have an issue with our blade. We come back through here by the wing blade.
Well, we have a belly blade, and that's on a rotation, and that it's in the middle of the, about a third of the way back from the front. It rotates when it pushes snow off to the right. If you rotate it to the other way, it pushes off to the left.
Correct.
Why would you ever want to push snow to the left?
You would not. Okay. And usually we don't turn them very much in the wintertime because they have a tendency to freeze up.
Okay.
So some people will ask us, well, when you get by my driveway, can you turn the blade the other way? That doesn't work very well for us because our blades will freeze up and then we can't move them very well.
Okay, then the new part of this, as you were just starting to go into this, is the wing plows. Wing plows, we only started noticing them, you know, more recently. Tell us all about wing plows and why they're important, and it requires a more for the driver to pay attention to.
There is a lot more to pay attention to. The wing plow helps us do our shoulders. We can do our job twice as fast. So before, we would go through with our belly blades and we would run the roads and clean the lanes off, and then we would have to go back around and clear the shoulders off. So you can see where that would take twice as much time. Now we can do the wing and the belly blade at the same time, cleaning our shoulders and our lanes at the same time.
And that probably means you have to have a heavier truck with more engine power.
This one has 350 horsepower. This is one of our lower end engines, actually, because it's an older truck.
And these are truly monsters. We're dwarfed as we walk around to the back.
Yes.
And here's the kind of the big action here. That's where the salt and sand combination comes out.
This truck has an insert sander, so we can take it in out in the summertime and put it in for winter purposes. It has a chain, a live bottom chain that operates that pushes the sand to the back of the truck, which drops down a slide chute into our spinner. We can adjust the speed that it comes out on the live bottom, and we can adjust the speed on the spinner so that we can put the sand and the salt where we need to put it.
Very good. Well, we better get out there, load up with some sand, and get on the road.
Yes, let's do it.
Go ahead, climb up on that side. I'll buckle everything down.
Okay, we're going to climb up in into the
3 points of contact climbing in, please. You got to be careful. It is like climbing a ladder.
Okay. I'm pulling open the door. He's closing the hood. He's going to also latch it on both sides. Yep. The tips forward, not like your car or vehicle. I have 1, 2, 3 steps to the cab floor. I'm in the passenger compartment. Rob is opening up the big, tall door. It's at least 18, 20 feet high. You're going to hear that diesel engine firing up in just a moment. I'm closing my door. He's doing the glow plugs. You can hear the engine purring. Now between Rob and I, he has a console. These are bucket seats.
Yes.
But not like your sports car.
Absolutely not.
And you have a whole panel of levers, and so tell them how many levers you have and things that controls. This is mainly for the plows, or does it also have to do with the salt and sander?
This first lever, there's 6 levers. The very first one here is for salt sand.
Okay. On that, off?
This far on my side, on the driver's side, the closest one. Then we have the belly blade, which is up and down pressure. Belly blade that turns it left and right.
The wing, which the wing we don't plow, use.
No, we did unless we have to. The front plow, which we don't have on right now. This is just lifts the cylinder up and down.
Just vertically.
The wing. Yep. On the very end here.
Which is the brand new.
Yeah. Thing. And the last lever on the very far towards the passenger side is the lifts the box up and down.
That's when you're off season, when you're using it in the summertime to
correct.
Dump a load of gravel or dirt or so that we're
correct.
More familiar with it. A traditional
yes.
dump truck.
Yes.
Fantastic. I see a couple dials back here too.
Okay, so those dials adjust my. Thank you for mentioning that.
Oh.
I need to turn them down.
And what do they do?
So this one operates the spinner
the
speed
right.
on the back.
Okay.
And then on the left operates live bottom on the inside the sander.
Which brings the sand, it falls down to the center, then is conveyed through the bottom, the live bottom, to the back, delivering the product, which is sand or salt, to drop down into the spinner and throw it onto the road.
It
so
won't.
It hits your windshield, right?
Sometimes. We use a salt sand mix. So we use 2 buckets of sand into 1 bucket of salt. So it's about 10 yards of sand to 5 yards of salt.
All right.
Let me get us out here and I'll shut the door.
And why do you choose to do salt and sand?
So the salt, well, budget reasons.
Sand is cheaper?
Sand is cheaper.
It also
so you mix them together. It also gives you grit on the road. When the salt isn't working, there's at least something there.
Especially with lower temperatures.
Or correct. Anything below 15 degrees, salt needs either water or sunlight to activate.
Sunlight?
Yes. Yeah. Sunlight will activate the salt.
I did not know that.
Is it just little warming will get anything that makes it moist makes it activate.
Okay, I guess you better hop on out and close the door before anything gets out. Well, we're in the cab here. We're getting ready to go to the sander. The door is going down. He's activated. Rob is getting back into the cab. This is Rob Borst. He's the South Supervisor of the Osceola County Road Commission. We're putting it in gear. We're making forward motion. The door is just closing, completely closed. We're wrapping around the parking lot and the administrative offices. We're right along US 10 that goes east. Ah, okay. Off to the side is a.
Probably gonna have to wait a few minutes for my operator to get up here so he can put some salt sand on us.
Okay. This particular barn is about 50 feet long and about 80 feet wide. And just like you said, you're in one bay. You have two separate bays. So one bay is salt. Is this Michigan salt?
We get it delivered from Saginaw.
Okay. And it has kind of blue hue. Is that a colorant to help identify the difference between snow and ice? And
you have me at a loss. I'm not sure why they color it.
Okay.
Sometimes it's just white.
Oh, okay.
So I think it depends on the batch. I'm not real sure about all that.
The front end loader has just dropped 5 yards of salt, of sand. We're going to see if we can alternate those. It'll be one salt, one sand, one salt, and then one sand, I assume.
Now we've been loaded, and we will head out on the road.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
Things to notice for our listeners is all the mirrors that we have.
It's quite an array. I see probably at least five. There may even be six mirrors. What do those mirrors try to...
So the top two on each side show me the side of the truck. The bottom ones on each side give me more of a view towards where my blade and where my sand will be. That front mirror up off the front of the hood.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Will show me where the wing blade is when the wing comes down.
So that's kind of like a new addition that you didn't have before, a wing blade?
Correct. And it's very important when you're trying to miss a mailbox.
In a passenger vehicle, they say things appear closer than they appear. Are your mirrors like that also?
No, they're not.
They're real, real. They're,
yes.
Because you need to know.
I do.
Well, you make some pretty important decisions based on that.
And to watch out for the motoring public as well.
So you're lumbering down the road while people are whisking past you. Now, the state of Michigan just put in a new law. Do you recall what that law is, how motorists are supposed to respect?
They're supposed to stay 500 feet behind us. They're supposed to be observing when we're backing up. It takes us, I'm putting the wing down now.
Okay. And the wing is a plow that's on the passenger side, and it's now dragging. It makes a lot of noise.
Yes. So this road up here has a turn lane. So we're going to kind of take the center of it out of it, and we'll wrap around the corner onto US 10. And then we'll have to back around and clean the intersection. We'll finish that turn lane when we come back.
So you move to the center and then turn right, which must cause a little consternation to a few drivers.
You have to really be paying attention. Lift the wing up.
And you cleared, there was a marker on the side of the road. You successfully navigated around it, but it was close. Now you're going to reverse. We're doing a practice run here just for the radio interview, where we have traffic that is traversing. We've had three cars pass us on our lane, and there's a fourth one, and then a couple coming from the opposite direction. We're in reverse right now. We've come through the intersection. And we're backing up to do some cleanup of this very same intersection. So you've gone past the intersection 100 feet. You're backing backwards about 5-8 miles per hour.
We always have to be watching out for the other guy that's on the road.
That's right. And it's not like you're doing a straightaway, because you're doing a maneuver here. We passed the intersection that we've just gone through. We've done the center lane. Put the wing back down. So you basically, in this maneuver that you're doing, I hope you hear the rumbling that wing plow. You have two plows that are pulling. We've got the center lanes. Now we're going on the, right now, on the southbound lane, the passenger lane.
We put a little bit of sand out also as we rotated the corner there. So it'll help burn out the center. And then when we come back, we'll do the turn lane. So we've now just sanded a little bit of the center part back there. We don't sand when we're only plowing the first time. We sand when we come back because we've scraped off as much as we can.
Okay. I'm glad you explained that, because there's so much visual stimulus going here as various things going on. So is most of your aggregate, your sand, locally sourced?
Yes, actually we have our own pit right here at the county.
Okay. Now,
up ahead we have a bridge and some guardrail.
So, well, what makes a bridge? Yesterday I was driving on US 131. There was snow covered, and I was going under the speed limit because of the conditions. Up ahead of me, there was emergency vehicles because somebody had passed and spun out into the intersection. What's happening here on the bridge?
We're staying clear of the guardrail.
Okay.
Always watching on that front mirror where my wing is at so that we know that we're not getting too close to the guardrail, but we want to get close enough that we're not leaving a huge pile there. Otherwise, it makes the road narrower.
Builds up over time, or?
There are times when we have to come out with the loaders and clean those off because they get built up too much. And in that case, we just take the snow and push it off to the other ends of the bridge. Stay over there, buddy.
We have a semi coming towards us, as Rob was kind of talking to the driver, sharing, I'll let you explain what you were observing there.
Well, he was kind of crowding me, and I have to stay close to the center line as I can.
Because you can't go off to the side with your
I'm
wing
not going to be able to just move out of his way. Now, in the case of an emergency, obviously, I would do that. But when I'm trying to clear the road, I have to kind of maintain my position and pray that they're going to move over.
Now, a few years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, they started giving different lighting, signal lighting, emergency lighting, or notification. You have green lights that are flashing.
Green and amber.
Okay.
We used to have just amber. Now they've added the green because it's distinctive to us.
Yeah.
Where you're not red or blue as the police are. And amber can also be a tow truck. So those things can be confusing. We're hoping that the motoring public will realize that when they see the green, that it's us out here trying to clean the road, and that they have to kind of stay out of our way.
You know, I've noticed that some of the wing plows actually have a green lighted LEDs on the very end. Is that for you or for other people?
For both, actually, because when you're plowing in the dark, it is hard to see where that wing is at. So that gives us a reference point. And it's also for other people, because when you're plowing a four lane, it tells them that they can't sneak up beside us. If we're trying to clean the center of that four lane, we don't want them coming up on the other side, because obviously we're going to throw snow at them.
That's, you don't want to be there.
Right. Just start frog up a little bit.
So Rob is not only manipulating the plows, watching the road, having to watch the mirrors. We talked about the multiple mirrors.
Ordinarily on this road, there's a road that goes off to our right. Ordinarily I would dip in, go past it, and we would right hand around on that road. So what I mean by that is I would dip in, clean part of the intersection, back up, and then take a right going that way. It's the most efficient way to do it. This being a primary road, I bypassed that. We're cleaning this road out. This is what we're concerned with. And then either another driver will pick up that road on his route, or I would be doing it later.
So give our listeners an idea of what a snow event is. When do you kick into gear? How many inches? And how long it takes to clean? Does the depth of snow affect the time to clean up a road? And if it's continuous, there's a multiple questions here. You can start wherever you want.
Okay, so when we have a snow event that is going to equate to 5 inches or more, we will get together, myself, Mike, and our North Road Foreman, Derek, and we will discuss how we're gonna attack it. So anything 5 inches or more, we're gonna run every road in the county. In order to do that, it takes anywhere from 12 to 14 hours, depending on the snow content. If it's a wet, heavy snow, it takes longer. If it's a cold, fluffy snow, it goes faster and easier.
Why is that?
The colder, fluffier snow moves easier. It's not so heavy. It literally can fly off of the road. The wet, heavy snow is a lot slipperier and heavy, and it bogs our trucks down. And so if we have less than that, say we have 3 inches, we decide we're just gonna do our black top surfaces that day, then that only takes us probably 5 hours. So I guess I lost track of your questions. Did I answer any of them?
Yeah, you did. Great sense of humor. We're actually passing underneath some facility here.
This is Cargill. It's a salt plant here in Hersey, Michigan.
It's a different type of, is this a commercial?
It's for water softener salt.
Oh, okay.
Actually. So as I'm coming up on this road here, we're going to stop and turn around. And I have to feather things off and lift my blades up. But you don't want to leave a big pile for some unfortunate driver to run into. So you kind of lift up slowly. Keep moving forward as you do. And the hydraulics are a little slow. You can see what this guy's doing here behind me. Alright, he's clear. Now we're gonna back up. Maybe, there it goes.
So we've gone past an intersection. And we're backing up.
This is probably the hardest part of the job.
So we're doing a 90 degree back up. We were going southbound. We're backing up into an east side road. He's rotating. He's went forward 15-20 feet and backing up again to complete the 180 degree turn. Putting it in forward and low gear and moving forward. We're at the salt plant for Cargill.
Okay, so now we're putting our salt sand down because we're heading back. We already plowed one side.
Yep.
So now we're heading back.
We're half done.
We're half done with this road. We don't want to put sand down any faster than 25 miles an hour. The salt will bounce off of the road if you go any faster. So as we go about 20 to 25 miles an hour, and we spread our salt sand as we're scraping back down the road.
So are you still delivering salt at this point?
I am. Okay. Can you see, if you look up my driver's mirror here,
yes.
You can see I'm trying to put it in the center of the road.
So both lanes get a...
So then the road is supposed to be crowned so that as the material starts to work, it works, the water works its way out, which is our best option.
And I always said that at least you got one wheel of traction when you're on that center lane coming either direction, especially on a country road. you can move over and take advantage of that. How wide is that at 25 miles an hour? How wide is that?
So it can be anywhere to 3 to 6 feet wide, depending on what you put the speed of the spinner at. Right now, mine seems to be spitting, I'm going to say, 3 to 4 feet wide.
So when a snowstorm event takes place, a 5-incher, your crew is kind of on call this time of year?
Yes, they are. And it's all times. So generally, unless we're going out for an emergency vehicle, we don't go out in the middle of the night. We will set it up so we bring our crews in early. We'll start 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, depending on when the event is happening and what our best advantage is. And we'll try to work it that way. And then sometimes we have to stay later in the day. If it's a 12 to 14 hour day, you know, you're here till 6, 7 o'clock at night before they get to cut out. Now, there are other counties that do run more than one shift. We don't do that here mainly because of the state roads. The state, MDOT, takes care of our state roads. We do not. So they are out on another shift.
Okay. So also the duration of the snow event probably affects things too.
Yes, it does.
Give us some scenarios that our listeners can grab onto, and some of the most interesting experiences that you've had.
The most interesting experiences. I've had many.
Okay.
You always want to help people. And quite often, people will get themselves in trouble. But I've had a lot of people think that they are in a big hurry and they got to get around the plow truck. And then I have to deal with them in the ditch in front of me. And quite often they say, I knew I shouldn't have went around you. however, they did. I've had other experiences where it's a freezing rain event, which are the worst. And to the point where we have to put chains on these trucks. And when you put chains on these trucks, it really limits your mobility. You can't go very fast, and it takes a long time to get from one side of the county to the other. And those are very long days. And especially in ice events like that, you also have a lot of hanging trees and issues like that. Trees fall down in front of you. You have wires that are hanging too low that you have to pay attention to. It's not just a job, it's an adventure.
If a tree has fallen in front of you, what do you do about it? Can you pull it out of the way?
Or? If we can pull it out of the way, we will get out and do that. Primarily, my drivers will call me because I'm in a pickup with a chainsaw, and I will be on my way to cut it out of their way. If they can get around it, they go around it and continue on with their job. If they can't and it's a definite hazard, they sit there and wait for it.
Okay.
Can see where that would take time.
That's what, yeah. What was the longest event that you can remember?
I'm gonna say it's been quite some time ago. It was probably pushing 16 hours. I'd been out all day. I was in a plow truck. I got myself stuck. It was to the point that we couldn't pull it out with our equipment. We were waiting for a tow truck to come and get me out of there, and basically I had to just sit in the truck, listen to the radio, and look at the stars because it was quite dark that night.
So we've just gone over the bridge for the second time that you cleaned earlier. We're heading back up towards that intersection. It's amazing, this road, which looked like it was a pretty docile road, has several semis running up and down it.
That's why it's one of our primaries. That Cargill salt plant up there has probably 100 plus semis a day.
Whoa.
Easily.
I would never guess that.
And so there's a lot of salt being hauled out of there every single day.
No, this is like water softener salt.
Yes, yes.
Now, do they actually pump that out of the ground and then dry it, or is this a distribution point?
No, I believe they take that right out of the ground here at this plant. They have those big domes there. They're supposed to be full of salt.
Rural legend says so, right?
Sure. There's supposed to be huge caverns underneath of there. I really wouldn't know.
Okay.
So now when we come back here, now we're going to be cleaning out that turning lane that we left earlier. As I come up to this, I'm still sanding.
Exactly same
intersection.
I have
to slow down.
We're making
turn my sander off and pick up.
We're going over the same as we went that 100 feet past the intersection.
Yes.
We're doing it again.
Yes. So now that road has been done. We will go back down that road. We're going to break off and go on to one of our gravel roads.
Okay. And except for the inconvenience and the dust in the summer and the gravel kicking up, what's the difference between a gravel road and a asphalt road, a hard surface concrete?
You want to pay a little more attention when you're plowing a gravel road, because if you have too much down pressure and the road is soft at all, you'll be peeling some of the gravel off, and we don't want to put our gravel in the ditch.
Because you got to put it back.
Because we got to put it back. So we have to be mindful of that. We also have to be careful of when there are softer spots, the truck will dig in sometimes, and they are a lot narrower. So we have to be mindful of our ditches. Most drivers know their beat very well, and so during the summertime, they pay more attention to know what their boundaries are, because when we have snow, you can't see that. So you have to stay in a little bit when you put a driver that isn't on that area very often. He can get himself in trouble. We're putting a little more sand on here just to pick back up, because we widened out when we started working over to that
center turn lane.
Center turn lane, yep.
So just filled in the Y.
Yep.
The middle of the Y. The throat of the Y.
Yes.
So when you train in the new drivers, you like to have CDL drivers already have experience certified to drive this level of truck.
Correct.
What else, what do you have to teach them?
There's a lot going on in here. Normal truck drivers don't have to deal with all these levers. They don't have to deal with the implements that are dropping down and moving. They don't have to deal with what those things can hit, mailboxes, guardrails, bridges, signs. So there's a lot more going on, and I mainly tell my drivers your head has to basically be on a swivel, and you have to know where everything is at all times. So we have our wing up right now. We're just going back down the road. We'll go up to another paved road and cut across to one of our gravels, and there's just a difference in how things work. All the implements work the same, but it's different in how you plow, which there's a gravel road right up here.
All right. We never thought about this before. You know, when you talk about the drivers, the over road, you know, the ones that have a box, a semi-trailer that's boxed in 53 feet, all he has to do is stay on the road and back up occasionally and make sure they negotiate the turns and not too narrow, or then you swing wide. But I was going to say, you're kind of like at the top of the food chain as far as the, almost like the major leagues of driving.
We are. we have to take a little more care. So I'm dropping my wing down now. I'm going to take the center out. The wing didn't make it down. Belly did. So we'll pick the belly up, stopping.
And go back. And the important to that is that if not, you're going to leave a triangle in the intersection.
We don't want to leave pies. We call them pies. We don't want to leave a piece of pie in the intersection.
And it's a triangle, or like you say, a slice of a pie that you would eat. So it takes the time for those hydraulics to interact, and we just have to give it a little bit more. Rob is craning over, looking at those mirrors. Putting it in forward, dropping the wing plow. That's the passenger side. It's now horizontal, touching the road surface. The belly plow is pushing out the snow from the middle. The wing is grabbing that and throwing it to the side. We have a mailbox that's coming up here. I'll try to keep my head out of the way, out of your vision there. And we are now on a gravel road.
Quite often we go a little bit slower on the gravels. You definitely need to be more careful with your wing on the gravels, because the wing can catch, and if the wing catches an embankment or something, it can turn your truck sideways.
Ooh.
And you definitely don't want that to happen.
It basically pivots.
Yes. Yes. It will pull you right to the right.
And you've been grading this all summer long.
We have, but everybody wonders why the roads get terrible in the wintertime. We get wet weather or wet snow on top of these gravels, and it actually creates holes in it because of the water. People drive on them, it splashes the water out. It creates a hole, even in the wintertime. So we try to get them the best we can every fall, before winter. And then we just have to kind of live with it after that.
And that's part of the winter preparation is,
yes,
is preparing all year long, especially in the fall. Make sure those roads are crowned and potholes are probably at a minimum. And we're coming to a curve. The nice, beautiful rolling hills here and trees. And you made a 90-degree turn there. I assume you don't get to look at the scenery very much.
No. No, my eyes are in the mirrors. I look at the wind, look out the windshield periodically, and then I'm back in the mirrors.
Actually, because you're steering to the plows, you're working those extents. You're probably not watching forward as much because it's a defined distance from
Correct.
The edge of that plow, the wing plow or the belly plow.
See, now if I get a little close right there, you can almost feel it pull a truck to the right.
Yeah.
When you're hitting that, there's a hard embankment right there. It's just snow. So I was just trying to show you that it will steer the truck. And you definitely don't want that to happen.
Fantastic. You mentioned going slower. We were plowing at 25. Now, when we came onto the gravel, 15 to 20 miles per hour.
On your blacktops, you can get up to 30 miles an hour, depending on what the area is or what obstacles you have. The other thing I could mention about speed is when we have a wet, heavier snow, we also have to be careful that we don't go too fast, because that will also damage things, mailboxes and property, because that snow is so heavy. If we're going at a rate of speed that's too high, it's definitely not good.
Been there, done that. I live on a county road, and the Wexford County, they just have a policy that they understand that there will be some damage, especially the first time out on the year, and They have a set fee, a little reimbursement to help you put that. If you took out your post, or if you, it's a fee, or if you took out your mailbox,
right?
They try to help you out.
Every county has their own policy.
Yeah. And you had mentioned, or Mike had, that most counties, at least in the lower peninsula, are roughly 24 by 24 mile. And when you get to the UP, it's a whole different story because of the population. The square miles of the counties are much larger. It seems like there's only like six or seven counties for that,
right?
That huge expanse of space. We're coming up to a stop sign, but I don't know if they have as many linear road miles, even though they have more square miles of property. Here with the wind plow, making a right turn, trying to clean up that corner. We're going that 100 feet. The wing plow is being retracted, lifted. Is the belly plow lifted also? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
I have to be careful how I do them because older trucks, hydraulics are a lot less. So I try to do one at a time. And that also comes into play when you're trying to watch what is happening with the wing.
And if I'm trying to understand what you're saying is you only have so much hydraulic PSA pressure, and if you're
correct,
if you're putting it out on two different hydraulics at the same time, the pressure drops, just like when you're at the gas station and you get more people pumping gas, it takes longer to fill your tank.
Correct.
So we backed up, or 180, we did a 92 to the right, we backed up. I'm trying to think, do we back up to the right? But anyway, we're going 180 degrees back the way you're lining up your corners.
The way this intersection is, it's a little tricky intersection. So that one is one that when you clean it, it's cleaned out on the blacktop side. We just kind of went out, turned around, and came back through. That noise you're hearing there, that's my engine fan. It's kicking in, the clutch is kicked in, it's got warm enough that it just gave us a boost. That can also draw power from a truck when you're trying to work.
Well, Rob, we're coming to the end of our hour here. Is there any thoughts as we're flying down the road and the snow is being removed? And any thoughts for our listeners, any tips, any words of wisdom?
I know all my guys take pride in what they do. They feel that they're out here to help the community. Most of them are all from this community, and so they do the best that they can. We would just ask that everybody be patient with us as we do our jobs.
Well, thank you, Rob, and I want to thank Mike for your service and helping us get about in these hazardous conditions. And for Strong Tower Radio, I'm Tom Majeure in the cab of an Osceola snow plow truck, and we'll see you the next time around. Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed. Bye now.